Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Yuan and Beis, and we begin four lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Nosson. The Mishnah told us that the Kohen Gadol, on his way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, would walk between two curtains. There was an outer curtain and an inner curtain. The reason for this double curtain arrangement was because Chacham were unsure as to how we're meant to classify that Amma-wide boundary between the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim. You see, during the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall built on that Amma, in which case it was irrelevant as to which side it is meant to connect to. But during the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Amma there. We explained that the Heichal in the second Beis HaMikdash was much taller, and you couldn't make a wall that tall. Just an Amma thick wouldn't support itself, so they did away with the wall. Instead, they hung up a curtain. But since there was an uncertainty as to the status of this Amma-wide strip of space in between the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're not sure whether it's considered part of the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadoshim, they hung up two curtains, one on either side, to account for both possibilities. Says the Gemara, four lines from the top, Amar Benosin, Amma Traxin. This Amma, called Amma Traxin, Rashi says Trax is Pnim, Sin is Chutz, inside, outside, we're not sure what it attaches to, the inside or the outside. Lo Yichriu Boi Chachamim, Chacham could not determine whether we regard it Ikel Pnim, like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ikel Chutz, or does it have merely the Kedush of the Heichel. Therefore, we have two curtains, one on either side, to account for both possibilities. Maskev L'Ravina, Ravina asks like this, my timer, what's your suffix? What's the basis of the suffix? Ilei Mishum Dechsiv. Is it based on a shaila on how to learn the psukim in Melachim? Pasuk says, V'abayis asher bono ha-melech Shlomo. The first Beis HaMikdash, built by Shlomo ha-melech. Lashem, Shishim Amo Arkay. We're speaking about the structure containing the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadosh. It was 60 amas long, from east to west. Ve'eshrim rochbay, 20 amas wide, shloshim amas kamasay, and had a total of 30 amas in height, first floor and second floor combined. That's the first Beis HaMikdash. So east to west is 60. Uksiv. The next pasuk will split the 60 into two parts. It was comprised of two sections. One was the Heichal area, and beyond that, the Kodesh HaKadosh. Uksiv varboim ba'amo. Hoyo haboyis hu haheichal lifnoi. So the first section is the Heichal, in front of the Kodesh HaKadosh. First 40 amos, the Heichal. Uksiv, then the pasuk says, v'lifnei ha-dvir. Rashi says, dvir is the mechitza, the wall, the partition between the Heichal and the area beyond that, Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'lefnei hadvir esrim amma. He had a section called the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was 20 amas. Esrim amma oirech, 20 long, v'esrim amma roich, 20 wide, v'esrim amma koimasoi, and that first floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amas high. So it's pretty clear. First 40 amma was the Heichal, 20 beyond that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now there was a dvir, there was a mechitza there. V'loyadinan, but we're not sure. Amo traxin, this mechitza called dvir, which was built on an amo wide strip, we're not sure where it belonged to. Imehani esrim, was it one of the 20 amo of Kodesh HaKadoshim? V'loyimehani esrim, v'imehani arboim, or perhaps was it calculated as part of the first 40 amma of the Heichal? So we know that in total we had 60 amma between both areas, Heichal and Kodesh HaKadosh. This wall in the middle, this dvir, which took up an amma, did it belong to the 20 of Kodesh HaKadosh, or was it part of the 40 of the Heichal? And that's the basis of our suffix. We're not sure how to learn the psuk. Says the Gemara, so you have two possibilities, right? Either the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadosh. Well, maybe there's a third possibility as well. Have you entertained the possibility that perhaps it was neither here nor there? It was considered its own place? Perhaps it was not to be counted within the first 40 or the last 20. And the Pasuk speaks about an area which was 40 amos long. First section, the Heichal. And the second section, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was 20 amos in size. Perhaps we're speaking about the Chalal, the empty space. Kodesh Solam, like a Chashiv. We're not taking into account the wall space as well. Perhaps this Amma, on which that wall stood, was its own place. It was not considered part of the Heichal or the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You need the 40 Amma of space prior to arriving at that wall, and 20 Amma of Kodesh HaKadoshim behind that wall. So what's your Shaila? Did it belong here or there? Maybe it didn't belong to either side. It wasn't taken into the account of either the 40 or the 20. Teda, I'll prove this to you. I'll prove to you that the wall space was never considered part of the actual area of the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because whenever we discuss wall space, we consider it on its own. It doesn't encroach on the territory within it. This is not as we find in the Mishnah Midas. The Mishnah here is going through the entire structure. The Ulam, the Heichal, Kodesh HaKadoshim, in total, if you look at the full picture of the entire structure, it's Meya, 100 amas long by 100 amas wide. Berum Meya, and 100 amas tall. And the Mishnah goes through the Cheshbon from east to west. We begin with the Koisel Ulam Chamish, the first wall that you encounter, right outside the Ulam, which is the anteroom to the Heichal. So that's 5 amas thick. V'ulam Achas Hashriyev. And the Ulam itself is 11 amas. Koisla Heichal Shesh. Next wall is the Heichal wall, 6 amas wide. V'arkoi or v'toichoi arboim amam, and the cavity of the actual Heichal itself was 40 amas. V'amatraxin. Here you go. The next amma was an amatraxin. That was the wall which served as a divider between Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim. And beyond that is v'chav amma beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. Another 20 amma for Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then beyond that, you have the next wall, Kais Laichel Chesheish, Vahatoshesh, this is another room which was 6 amas wide. And finally, Vikais Lato Chamesh, the last wall beyond that, Toh is 5, for a total of 100 amas. It's pretty clear that the Amatraxin was above and beyond the 60 amas, which contained the 40 for the Heichal and 20 for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's not part of the 40 or part of the 60. So what was your Shiloh? You have a Shiloh, what does the Amatraxin relate to? Is it attached to the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadoshim? Here you see pretty clearly that the Amatraxin was separate, was calculated separately from the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ella says the Gemara, I know you're right. Of course wall space is not accounted for. It's a separate area. What about the Kedusha status? How do we classify it as far as the Kedusha aspect? The question was whether, as far as Kedusha purposes, does it identify with the Heichal or do we identify with the Kodesh HaKadosh? And therefore, when it went missing during Bayis Sheni, an empty space, we're not sure. We weren't sure whether we should consider as part of the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadosh. In which case we hung up a curtain on both sides of that Amma to account for both possibilities. V'haynu the Amma Rabbi Yechanan. And this corresponds to Rabbi Yechanan tells us, Bo'i Yosef Ish Hutzal. Yosef from the town of Hutzal presented the following question. How does Shaila had to learn the Pesukim? This again is a Pasuk in Malachim. Udvir b'soicha bayis mipnima heichen L'sitein shom es aroin bris Hashem. So the pasuk describes something called a dvir, which again Rashi says is a mechitza. Udvir b'seicha bayis, which was placed right in the middle of the bayis, middle of that structure. This was the dividing wall between Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the pasuk says, "Mipnima heichen l'sitein sham es aroyim bis Hashem." So beyond that, Pnima, he prepared the area in order to place in that makom the Aron Bris Hashem. And the two ways to learn the pasuk, Gibaylu. They presented the following shal. How do we want to read the pasuk? Udvir b'secha bayis. The wall was within the bayis. Mni pnima yehechen l'siten sham. And beyond that wall, mipnima, going further into the bayis, beyond that wall, he prepared a makim, a suitable place, for which to place the Aron Bris Hashem, in which case the wall is outside that zone, and not part of that kedusha. Oidilmo, perhaps, learn it differently. Hachagamar. The pasuk reads as follows: Udvir b'secha bayis, mipnima. He placed a dvir inside the bayis, mipnima, which totally identifies with the makim pnim, where he placed the Aron Bris Hashem. In which case, we consider that wall as part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we find that Yosef Ish Hutzel actually had a suffix based on how to interpret a pasuk, which resulted in the same shayla. Says the Gemara, Mi Masapkali, did Yosef Ish Hutzel really have a suffix as to how to learn a pasuk in Nach? Well, Tanya, we learned to the Brice. Isi ben Yehuda Eimer. One is going to tell us that Isi ben Yehuda is the same fellow as Yosef Ish Hutzel. Isi ben Yehuda said like this: there were actually only 5 psukim which contain an uncertainty as to how to read them. Chamesh mikrois b'Torah, there are 5 psukim in the Torah, ein lehen achriya. We don't know how to tip it. Rashi says on the bottom line, ein lehen achriya l'das hechen heinoitin. We have no way to determine which way, in which direction, to learn the psukim. What are the 5 psukim? Seis mishukadim machor orer v'kam. Says Rashi on top. Let's go through the 5 psukim. Seis, says Rashi, aloy im seitiv seis. This is the Bereishis Dalet. Hashem says, look, im seitiv seis. Do we read it like that? V'loshen slichu. If you do tshuva, you'll do seitiv. You'll revert from your chet. Seis, you'll achieve kapara. Seis relates to the first part of the pasuk. As a result of tshuva, you have kapara. Oy seis im loy seitiv. The pasuk continues, v'im loy seitiv al petach hatzarovitz. So perhaps seis is referring to the next part of the pasuk. Seis im loy seitiv. If you go off, you'll be involved in seis v'losh anasiyos avinhu. You'll carry sin. So which way do we read the word seis? Does it go on the words before, or is it applied to the words going forward? Mishu kadim, pasuk Shmoyis, above gvi mishu kadim, kaftorei of Rachel. The question is, mishu kadim, engraved, designed, is it referring back to the arbo gvi, or is it referring forward to the kaftorei of Rachel? Machar, v'tzei hilochem b'malak machar. And it's the pasuk there says that anoy chinitzav aloy shagiva. So Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yeshua, tzei hilochem. And the question is Machar referring to Sehi Lacham Amalek? You meant to conduct your war tomorrow? Or Machar is referring to Anoich Nitzav, meaning Sehi Lacham Amalek Miyad, start war now. U Machar Anoich Nitzav, tomorrow I will begin my davening. Vayoyim Yatatoch Tfilas, today you don't need my tefillah. Or, this was Yaakov Avinu speaking to Shabbat Shimon Valevi, Ubritsunim Ikru Shoir, Arur Apam Kios. The word Arur can go either way. Arur Shoshal Shchem Shu Ma'ur Kanan is referring to the fact that he uprooted the Shoir, referring to Shchem, who's cursed. He's a descendant of Kanan, so he has the Arur. Ubritsunim Ikru Shoir, they uprooted, they destroyed Shchem, who's Arur. Or was he applying the Arur to their anger? Anger is a tevil trait. Arur apam ki'as. So we're not sure which way to tip it. And finally we have Vakam. The pasuk reads like this. V'yim Hashem al Moshe, hinecha sheichi v'mavasecha, you're going to pass away. V'kama amazeh v'zana achrei elohei nechar aretz. One way to learn it is, hincha sheichev amosecha v'kam. After you pass away, you're going to get up again. V'kan ramas l'tchias ha-mesim. Here I have a remez in the Torah, so the concept of tchias ha-mesim. Or, another way to learn it is, v'kam is applied going forward. V'kam amazeh v'zana, eventually, this nation will get up and do what they deserve. So in total, we have five psukim, which contain a word which we're uncertain how to learn. Continues the Gemara. Now, who presented this list? Yisif ben Yehuda. Vatanya, it's the same person. Hu Yosef ben Ishhutzel. Hu Yosef HaBavli. Yosef Ishhutzel is Yosef HaBavli. Hu, it's the same man, Yisif ben Yehuda. Hu, Yisif ben Gun Aryeh. Hu, Yisif ben Gamliel. Hu, Yisif ben Malal. Umashma, what's his real name? Isai ben Akavi Shmai. First of all, say that in the time of Shema, they would change their names, they would have a lot of aliases to avoid capture. In any case, this Manda Omar, Isai ben Yehuda, who presented a list of no more than five psukim, which contain a suffix, is the same as Yosef ben Ishhutzel, who seems to have another suffix regarding the exact classification of the Amitraxim based on a Pasuk in Melachim, which has an uncertainty. Says the Gemara, but the Raisa, Leka. There are no more Psukim in the Torah, Chamishchem Torah, which contain a suffix. But the Nevi Ikab, when it comes to Nevi'im, we do find Psukim with a suffix. And that Pasuk was in Melachim. Or with the Raisa, Leka, there are no more to be found in the Torah itself. But Ikab, we have another one. The Boy of Chizda. Pasuk says, this is the time of Har Sinai, Vayishlachas Nari Bnei Yisrael, Vayalu Oilois, and the Pasuk reads like this, Vayishlachas Nari Bnei Yisrael, Vayalu Oilois, Vayizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim Lashem Purim. The question is, how to learn the Pasuk? Do we split the Pasuk into two? Or we apply an Asnachta Rashi, it's like a comma. And we read it like this, Vayalu Oilois, what was used for the Oilois? Kvasim, sheep. The pasuk continues, "Vayizbechu zvachim shlamim parim." So we have two types of karbonis. The oilis were brought from shlamim, and the zvachim, they used parim. Oidilma, perhaps, we read it all at once. Edividi parim. We don't insert a comma. We don't pause in the middle of the pasuk. Rather, we read it in one go. Vayishlach hasnar bnei Yisrael, vayalu oilois, vayizbuchu zvachim shlomim l'Hashem parim. Everything was parim. What's the Nafkamina, by the way? So Rashi elsewhere says, Nafkamina would be if somebody made a neder. I'm going to bring a carbon just as they did by Har Sinai. I'm going to bring an oil like them. Well, it depends how to learn the pasuk. One pshat is they brought a keves for an oil. So he has to bring a keves as well. Because the other pshat, they brought parim for both, for zvachim and for oilois. So we'll have to follow suit. In any case, we see we have a suffix in a pasuk in the Torah. So why didn't Yisif ben Yehuda add this to his list? Rav Chizda Mesabkel, you're right, Rav Chizda had a suffix. Yisif ben Yehuda Pshitel, he didn't have a suffix. Therefore, he didn't add it to his list. So just a quick recap. We had a shaila regarding the Amitraxin. And the word tells us that that's Pasha, that the wall space did not encroach on the actual territory of the Hechel of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hechel had 60 Yama, Kodesh HaKadoshim had 20. This was above and beyond the 20 and the 40. The question rather was regarding how to classify it. In Din, what is it considered? Kedushas Hechel or Kodesh HaKadoshim? In which case, during Bayis Rishon, wasn't a concern. Perhaps Shlomo HaMelech even knew, but Kabbalah from his father, David HaMelech, exactly how to treat it. But when it came to Bayis Sheni, where they did away with the wall, instead they hung up curtains. Now, they weren't sure which side of the armor to hang the curtain. Where does Kodesh HaKadoshim begin? They hang one up on either side to account for both possibilities. Continues the Gemara Chitzoina. So now the outer curtain, closer to the Hechel, closer to the Kohen Gadol, HaChitzoina is a proof of Minadurim. It was clipped up on the Durim side. So walking into the Hechel, you have Tzofen on the right, Durim on the left, and the Pareches, which he encountered first, was lifted up a bit on the left side, right by the left corner, right left wall, to allow him entry. Hachitzoino is a proof of minadurim, but it wouldn't allow him direct entry to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Upnimis minat sofen. The inner pareches was not hung up in that corner. He couldn't get through there. It was actually clipped up on the other side, at sofen, on the right side. And that's where he found entry into Kodesh HaKadosh. Mahalach b'nei. So now he would enter the outer mechitza, the outer pareches, through the left side, take a sharp right turn, Malach by name, walking between the two curtains, Achimagil at Tzafon, until he arrives to Tzafon. Once he gets there, he finds the curtain lifted, he gil at Tzafon, he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and makes a 180 degree turn back to Dorim. He's already inside Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hoyfich Pan al-Dorim, he turns back to Dorim, and walks along the Pareches, with his left side hugging the pareches, malach l'smoili ma pareches, with his left side brushing the pareches, ad shu magi al aron, until he arrives at the mokim aron. Now the Ritva explains why was it done in this manner. Why was it that the outer pareches was hooked up on the left and the inner one to the right? Now we assume that the reason why they didn't fold them up the same place because they wanted to actually block the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was more covered, so that it wouldn't be open for viewing from the Heichal. So this way they were able to block it off by making a Pesach on the left, on the Pereches HaKetzoyna, and the Pereches HaPnimis only had a Pesach on the other side. So you couldn't see straight through from the Heichal. The question is, why did they choose to do it this way? Why couldn't they do it in the reverse? As Ritva says, in order to enable the Kohen to walk in this manner. So he gets in from the left side, walks between the Pareches, all the way to the right of the Tzafon, and then goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, makes another 180, and walks next to the Pareches, bismayli, having his left side go near the Pareches, rather than the other way. Because this way is much better, so that his right side faces the Aron, in the direction of the Aron. This is the reason why they chose to arrange it in this manner. Interesting that the Ben Yoyada, he says, the Dvar HaGadol, he says, why was it dafka done in this way, that he began in Dorim, moved over to Tzafon, and then headed back towards Dorim? What was in Dorim? On the Dorim side of the Heichal, there was the menorah. On the right side, on the Tzafon side, there was the shulchan. Gemara says that chachma Torah is drawn from the menorah. In fact, if a person wants to become a chacham, when he davens, he should face a bit towards darim to be zeicha to the oir and the chachma of the menorah. On the other hand, you have parnasa, which comes from the shulchan b'tzafon. Says the Ben Yoyada, a yid's focal point, Yid's focus is menorah, is chachma, is Torah. That's where he begins. So he starts with Dorim. And even afterwards, when he has to get involved in earning a panosa, when he's heading over to Tzafon, it's still based on his solid Torah foundation. The purpose is Torah. He's coming from learning. That's his motive, to support himself, to live a Torah lifestyle, to learn Torah. That's the foundation. That's the yisoid. So you begin from Durim, head over to Tzafon, earns a parnasa, but then makes his way back to Durim as well. That's the end goal. It starts and ends with learning Torah and living a Torah lifestyle. So says the Remez, you begin with Durim, which is the side of the menorah. That's the yisoid. You head over to Tzafon for Parnaso, and you head back to Torah. That's the ultimate goal. I mean, Kamach in Torah. Continues the Mishnah. So he's walking along, Mahalach L'smoilim HaPareches. He's walking along with his left side facing the Pareches. Ad Shemagil Oroin, until he arrives at the Oroin, which is right in the middle of Kodesh HaKadosh. He gil Oroin, he arrives to the Oroin, Noisein Es HaMachto Meshdei Abad. He puts down the machta, right? He has the machta with the coals in his right hand. the kaf with the keteris in his left. He places the machta on the floor, in between, between the two poles of the aron. Sovaras hakteris al gabi gecholim. He went ahead and he piled up the keteris on the coals, when the smalik al bayis kulei ashan, after which the entire room filled up with smoke. And the brisk rav, being medayik in the Rambam, comes up with a great chiddush, that there was a din for him to be standing there all that while. He had to wait until the room filled up with smoke. And explains because the avoid of the terrorists, especially in Kippur, was to generate this cloud of smoke. He's meant to be present. He's meant to be there to observe his avoid. And only after the bais was filled with ashen, that's considered to have concluded his ma'isa avoida, in which case he's free to leave. Yotza, so he left, but how did he leave? He didn't walk back. He didn't walk with his back facing the Kodesh HaKadosh. Yotza u'boli b'derech beis knisasa. So he traveled out the same way, in the same manner as he entered. What does that mean? That he left with his front facing the Aron. He would walk backwards. B'derech kavod. Tesis actually asks Akasha. The pasuk says, "V'yotzel l'mizbeach." He's meant to make a masi yetzia, and it brings a gemara and shvus. If you do it in an abnormal way, it's not called a masi yetzia, masabia. Walking backwards, that's not the way you leave a room. So he says here it's different because this was the appropriate way of leaving. Derech of a Talmud is leaving his master, his rabbi. So this is considered appropriate for this circumstance. And therefore it conforms to the Pasuk's description of the Yatz. Interesting, Chiddush of Tosis. So he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he's now in the Heichal. Umispalot v'lektzora v'ayzachitzen, he would conduct a short tefillah out in the Heichal. This was a Eis Ratzah in a time of Akteris Keteris. So he davened for Klal Yisrael, but a very short tefillah. V'lo yoyomarech b'tefillah, so he wouldn't prolong the tefillah, shlei lahaves es Yisrael, to avoid frightening the Yisrael who are waiting his return. They will be concerned, perhaps he got stuck there, perhaps he died for being a tzduki. So he had to hurry things up and come back to Klal Yisrael who were eagerly awaiting him. Let's take a look at Rashi, 17 lines from the top. Masnis. Hachitzoyne prufa min adorim. So two mechitzes, and the outer one was clipped up on the Dharam side, left side. Rabbanon Kamila, of course, this is the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi says there was only one machitza. Proof of Rosh Hakfulu L'Tzalachutz, it was folded towards the outside, and Nechezes B'Keresh Ozov, with a golden hook holding it up, Liyaz P'sucha V'Medes, to keep it open. Malach B'Nein Nichnas B'Frifas Adharam. So he walked into that Dharam opening, Malach B'Nein, and took a walk between the Parochis, Asher Magil P'Frifas Atzofen, until he finds the Tzofen fold, with the Pareches, the inner Pareches, was hooked up on the Tzofen side. He gets at Tzofen, once he arrives at Tzofen, U'mishenichnas l'secha halal, and of course, having entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that point, Havach fanu l'darim, now he turns back to Darim, Leilechad Bein Abadim, Shem Be'emtza halal, till he gets to the Bein Abadim, which was right in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kedah Ma'az, we learned, Oren Shasa Moshe, Hoyle Aver Asor Amos Beis HaKodesh HaKadoshim L'Ruach V'Ruach. The Gemara Bavasu says, it was an ace. At the Aron Sha'asa Moshe, even though it took up space, but it didn't take up floor space. Hoyuloy Avir Asora Amais Veis Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you measured the airspace, the floor space, from the Aron to the wall alongside it, you found 10 Amais. V'chol V'ruach V'ruach. In all directions, you find 10 Amais. Which was an ace, of course. Because, as we just learned, Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 Amais. And if you place the Aron in the middle, how can you get 10 amos on either side? Apparently, as the more learned earlier in Yuma, Mokim Orein Eino Min Amida. Perhaps Rashi is alluding to the fact that even when he didn't have an Orein, see, the Marle will tell us, we're going to see soon that the Orein wasn't actually there, Mita Sheni. It was only the Mokim of the Orein. Still, perhaps Rashi is alluding to the Chiddush and to the Nais, that not only was the Orein not counted into the floor space, but even the Mokim Arim, as the Lashon that the Gemara uses earlier in Yuma, the Mokim Arim Eina Min Amida, the space that the Arim would occupy, was not considered as part of the 20 amos. Continues Rashi, Mahalach l'smolim ha-pareches. So now he's walking along with his left side hugging the pareches. Shemahalach mitzafon l'darim, smolim l'mizrach. Because, very simple, he started off on the left, he went over to the right, made a U-turn, and his head back from tzafon to darim, with his left, of course, facing mizrach, right? Va-pareches ha-yisalei l'mizrach, ha-chalal. And the pareches, of course, was hung on the eastern side of the chalal of Kadesh HaKadosh. So that's why his left was running along the pareches. And he walked along Levein Shnei Abadim until he got to the area in between the Badim. Va'abadim ha'yaruchim at the pareches. Of course, the Badim were long poles, which extended all the way to the pareches. Roish Echad Lemarer, Bashen Lemizroch. They extended from west to east. Echad V'Roish Ha'arim L'Tzafrin. V'Echad V'Roish L'Dorim. One on either side of the Aron, one on the north, one on the south. And you had the actual Aron, which was 2.5 hours long, between the two Badim. So when he left in a respectful manner. Just as when he came in. When he was walking in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on his way to the Aron, pon of klapei darim, his face was positioned towards darim. Kach hashiyotz, same thing when he left. Why yehesiv as pon of lots? He didn't turn around. Elo yotze derech achirav, upon of the Aron. Rather, he stepped back with his face, his front, still towards the Aron, and he conducted a tefillah by sachitzan, which is the hechel. Continues the Gemara with Maya Skin, and what are we speaking about here? Which Migdash are we describing? Ilema b'Migdash Rishon, the first place of Migdash, we have a Pareches. Since when do we have these two curtains in the Bais Rishon? It didn't exist during Bais Rishon, we had a wall there. Now, although of course there was an entrance in that wall, and there was a Pareches hanging, but certainly there weren't two Pareches there. Ela b'Migdash Sheni, okay, apparently it's Migdash Sheni here. So now there was no wall. There was a double pareches. Mi av Aron? Was there Aron? The Aron was long gone. It was hidden towards the end of Bayis Rishon. Atanya. Mi shenignas Aron. When the Aron containing the Luchos was hidden, this was towards the end of Bayis Rishon, lots of items went along with it. Nignaza imoitz in tzenes haman. There was a container with a bit of mun that was placed by the Aron as an indicator for future generations, to show how Hashem sustained and still sustains those who serve Him. There's no concern about Parnasa. Hashem provides. So that was put together with the Aron, and it was considered like one package. When the Aron went, with it went along the Tzitzen HaSaman. What else? Utzlicha Shemen HaMishcha. This was a container with Shemen HaMishcha. U'makle Shal Aron V'shikadeh U'brocheh. That's interesting. You see, the Makle Shal Aron was the whole story after Korach. Hashem wanted to prove that He chose Aron and the Kehanim. So all the Shvatim presented a stick, and it turns out that his stick sprouted forth blossoms, buds, and shkedim and almonds. So that makel was meant to be placed together with the Aron. U'makle shel Aron, u'shkodeh u'brocheh. Interesting that the Gemara would make mention of the almonds and the blossoms on that stick. I mean, that was the whole point of the stick, that it had blossomed, as opposed to the other ones who hadn't. So why does the Braisa make mention of the stick separately from the Shkeim and the Pracham? So Tosfos Shalom says, interesting thing. He asks this as a kasha, a tmiya. And he says, V'nira ki miktsas ha-prachem nisharu. Shleigomlu shkeidim v'nisharu pracham. He says, apparently, the Gemara is alluding to a miraculous phenomenon that there was shkeidim and pracham at the same time. So generally, it would blossom. First you have the blossoms, the pracham. Then the pracham fall away. They turn into buds, which matures into an almond. Apparently, says Tosfos Shanim, you had almonds and blossoms at the same time. What's the point of it? So perhaps you can explain according to Rashi. Rashi in Chumash says, why dafka shkedim? Why was that used as an indicator in this case? So Rashi says it was meant to send a message. Just as shkedim mature very quickly, so too one who moves against iron, a kain gadol, he will endure very swift einish, a very rapid punishment. That's the Rashi and Chumash. So perhaps that's the point of having the Shkedim and the Prachim together, to show how quickly it happened. While there were still some blossoms, those already matured into almonds, and this would show the Mehiris, the fact that it went so quick, and would highlight the point that Hashem was trying to highlight with his nes. So you had the Makel, Shkedim, and Prachim at the same time, which was a real siman to Hashem's message. What else was together with the Aron? V'argos sheshigru plishtim doiran. Little case stroll. You had the chest, which contained treasures, and it was sent by the plishtim as a gift to Hashem, when they took the Aron away, and then they had charot, they sent it back together with a gift. Shnemer ochli azov asher shivoysim loy osham tosimu Argos mitzidoi v'shilachtem oisei v'holach. So the pasuk says that the klei hazav, these golden items that were sent back as a carbon, as a asham, as a kapara, you meant to put in a chest next to the aron. V'shilachtem oisei v'holach, send them like that. So the pasuk is indicating that they meant to stay together as a pair, and probably not meant to separate between the aron and this argos. So we have a whole long list of things that were hidden together with the Aron. It was the Aron together with the Man, Shem HaMishcha, Aaron's staff, the Argos of the Plisht. Umi Gonzai, who hid the Aron? Yeshio Gonzai. He was a king at Tzadik towards the end of Bayis Rishon. He decided to hide the Aron. Ma Rosh HaGonzai, on what basis did he do the Gnitzah? Rosh HaKosef. You know the Pasuk said, Yoylech Hashem Oyscheves Malkecha, Asher Tokim Alecha, that Hashem is forewarning Klal Yisrael. They're going to go into Golos together with their king, Amad Beganza. He quickly got up and he hid the Arayin so that it won't get captured along Klal Yisrael. Shenemar v'yomil Levim. He turned to the Levim. Hamavinim l'chol Yisrael. Those understanding Levim. Magdoishim l'Hashem. He said, listen. Tunu asar roin ha-kodesh v'bayis ha-shabana shloim ben David melech Yisrael. Go ahead and hide the Aron, place it in a pre-arranged hiding place that Shlomo HaMelech had already pre-arranged. He already anticipated this situation, and he went ahead and he built some hidden chamber, which would be very hard to discover deep down under the Beis HaMikdash. Go put the Aron there. Apparently he knew the secret, and he advocated for the Gniza of the Aron. Ein lechem masa b'kotev ato ivdu Hashem lekeichem. He says, perhaps the Aron will get captured. It's going to be Chil Hashem. Ein lechem masa b'kotev. Perhaps it's going to get stolen. Not going to even take it back on your shoulders. Quickly, go ahead, do the right thing. If the Hashem lekechem, serve Hashem properly. V'sam Yisrael, and go hide the Aron. So that's what happened, and that's who did it. Now, how do we know that with the Aron went along those other items that we mentioned? V'amar b'lozer. Asya, we derive from Gzeirah Shava. Shama, Shama. By the Aron, we have a term, Shama, Asher Yivadoch HaShama, Rashi says. And likewise, by its Tzenas Haman, we have the word Shama, V'ten Shama Meloi Aymer. So just as the Aron was hidden, the Tzenas Haman always went along with the Aron. Regarding the Shemana Mishcha, we say like this, V'asya Doris Doris. By the Mon, it says, L'Shmeresh L'Doris Eichem. By the Shemana Mishcha, it says, Zei Yekodesh Doris Seichem. So once again, we connect the two things, just as the Man was closely related with the Aron, so too with the Shemana Mishcha, V'asim Mishmeres Mishmeres. Then we go further, and we say just as the Shemana Mishcha contains the word Mishmeres, so too the Makli Shel Aron has the word Mishmeres mentioned with it, and therefore it's also closely related to the Aron, and wherever the Aron is found, these items go along. Getting back to our kasha, the Mishnah describes a double paroiches with an aron. It doesn't go together. And by a sheni, when we had the double pareches, there was no longer an arayin. Lo yom min hasheni. Of course, we're speaking about the second Beis Hamikdash. Umay yigia la'arayin. The Mishnah says he arrived at the arayin. Makim arayin. Simply means the makim, where the arayin was previously positioned. Now, perhaps, this Mishnah is in line with the Shita we're going to see tomorrow, Bez Hashem, who holds that the Arayin was b'mkoymoy nignas, was actually hidden in its place, meaning deep in the ground below, but right in the makom of the Arayin. So it makes very much sense that the Mishnah would describe the Kengadol as arriving to the Arayin, the makom of Arayin. Although he didn't see the Arayin, but he was situated right above the actual Arayin, which was deep down below. Okay. But doesn't the Mishnah describe further that the Kohen Gadol placed the Machta where? Between the bottom. There were no bottom there. Doesn't mean literally between the bottom. It says no, the bottom were there. So he placed it on the Makim where the bottom would have been. Continues the Mishnah. Sovar asach teres al gabi gechom. So he piled the teres onto the coals in the machta. Tanan, we have arrived from our Mishnah, commando Amar Tsoivra, to the Shita that says that instead of just sprinkling it all over the coals, he actually piled it up in a thick pile. We had this machlekes a few blot ago. One Shita held, you're actually meant to pile it up so that it takes a while for the smoke to generate. So it gives him enough time to leave. And the other Shita says, no, you meant to sprinkle it evenly so that the Ashen is Mamaheris Lovei. The Ashen quickly generates, which actually shortens his stay, which is better, to linger less in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Our Mishnah supports the Shita that holds Tzoivra. Tanan Kamad Amat Tzoivra, he piles it up. Now, the question is, how is he meant to do that? So he piles it up in a thick pile, but he's going to do it in a sweeping motion. He can start closer to himself and work his way out towards the interior of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or he can begin farther away from himself, which is actually perhaps safer. So he starts closer into the interior of Kodesh HaKadoshim and works his way back to himself, which is better because it's avoiding a safety hazard. So he's having the Torah's light up the coals there, and he makes his way back towards himself, which will avoid sakana. So which way is better? Tani Chad, we have one brayser which says, Sovra Prima, he begins towards the interior portion of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, farther away from himself. Shichu Tzeloi, which is farther away from himself, and then works his way back towards himself. V'tani Yidduch, we have another brayser which says, Sovra Chutza, he actually begins closer to himself. Chutza means towards the exterior of Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shipnimilai, which is closer to himself. So he begins closer to himself and works his way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Meir explains the reason for this would be because Ein Mavir Nal Mitzvah is not meant to pass over the opportunity. The Mitzvah opportunity at hand, he has Gecholim sitting in front of him. What right does he have to pass them over? And as far as the safety hazard, perhaps you can say that the Gecholim here had already cooled off somewhat. It's been a while since they've been scooped off of the Mizbeah, they've been placed on the floor for a while, and they were waiting around. So this Shita will hold, perhaps there is no sakana of the coals getting instigated and lit up so quickly. Amar Abayi Tanoi, it's actually Machagis Tanoi. Amar Abayi Mistabra Kaman De Amar, it seems that the more rational approach is, like the Shita that says, Pnima Shichutza Loi. He begins laying the Torahs farther away from himself. Plima means towards the interior of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shechutzalei, which is farther away from him, and then works his way back to his body. This not, as we learned in the Mishnah, this is regarding the Torahs throughout the year, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Melam den Oisai, they instruct him, they teach the Kohen, he's Zohar, be careful, Shloi Taslam Panecha. Don't begin close to yourself, rather begin farther away and work your way back. Shem Techav, you might get burnt. So the Abayi, apparently this is a real concern, and even in Kippur when the coals were already somewhat cooled off, I maintain this is the preferred approach. Okay, time for a brief chazara. We learned about the Suffolk revolving around the Amatraxon, that had the Kedusha of the Heichel, the Kedusha Kedoshim. It created a double curtain to account for both possibilities. We had a list of five psukim in the Torah, which were Eilehem Achreya. We don't have a clear determination as to how to learn those psukim. We have a sixth one presented by Rav Chisda. We have yet another pasuk in Navi, which was the basis for our shaila regarding the Kedusha's Amatraxon. We learned that the Kohen Gadol would walk between the two curtains upon entry to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We learned about the Tefillah Ketzara, which he said in the Heichal. We learned about the Aron and the accompanying items which were hidden by Yeshua HaMelech in anticipation of the Golas. We learned about the fact that he would pile up the Ketoras, and there's the Machlekes as to which direction he took, whether he began out, came back in, or in and went out. Abaye maintains, better start further away and work your way back to avoid any safety hazards. Hatzlacha Rabbah to you.